Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives. Today's program is a recording of a discussion led by Leah Holbrook of Project Sanctuary with Laytonville High School students. The topic is healthy and unhealthy relationships. While the subjects addressed are high school students, the insights are applicable to all ages. Here is Leah Holbrook from Project Sanctuary in Ukiah.
I'm Leah, LIA. I've worked at Project Sanctuary for 9 years. The title that we had is P.S. I Love You, but the topic is sort of healthy relationships, what that means, what, you know, so that's sort of the general topic. We're going to be talking today sort of about relationships, what that means, what relationships look like, the types we have. But before we do that, I want to share just a little bit sort of how I got involved with my job. So when I was 16, I was actually living in Ukiah, and I got involved with a relationship with somebody who was 24. And at the time, I thought this was very cool, very flattering. I just thought it meant I was like really mature. And didn't see at the time that there was a very unhealthy aspect to the relationship. And in the beginning, the relationship started off perfect. The person was really sweet, was really kind. But slowly it started changing. And it started changing in kind of small, unnoticeable ways. You know, just kind of ignoring me when I was talking or making fun of something I was saying, or kind of making me feel stupid because I was younger than they were and couldn't know anything because I was younger. And from there, it progressed into sort of a control. And that looked like, you know, who are you with? What are you doing? Are you cheating on me? For absolutely no reason. That just kind of came out of nowhere. And I had actually planned this trip to Washington, D.C. I'd planned it for like a year to go see a friend. And they decided that they did not want me going because they were sure I was going to cheat on them. So this just kind of progressed. It got worse and worse. And I wish I could say that I had this like moment of clarity where I decided that I wanted to end this because it wasn't healthy, but I didn't. It just ended. They just broke up with me and I was crushed. This was like my first serious love. And so about a year later, I saw an advertisement for Project Sanctuary in the newspaper. They were doing a training to be on their crisis line. And for whatever reason, I decided I wanted to do it. And it took me a while to figure out that the reason I wanted to do this was so I could have the opportunity to talk about relationships and learn about relationships. And I found that as a young person, I didn't really have any adults who talked to me about relationships. It didn't happen in the classroom. It just didn't seem to be something that anyone talked about. So I feel very lucky to do my job. I get to go all throughout Mendocino County and talk to young people about what they want out of relationships. Just to let you know, this presentation is not actually even a teaching thing. So it's not me coming here and saying, this is what relationships are supposed to be. This is what they're supposed to look like. It's more of a kind of a discussion of thinking for yourselves. What do you want of a relationship? What do you consider healthy in relationships? What do you know you never want in a relationship? And then obviously, kind of in a general sense, what do you guys think teens' experience of relationships are? So who are some of the different people we have relationships with in our lives? Who are some of the different people we might...
Parents.
Absolutely. So parent relationships.
Teachers.
Teacher relationships. Absolutely. Siblings.
Friends.
So peers. And actually, you know, relationships doesn't even have to be positive. So we might have relationships with people at school that we don't even get along with. So even an enemy is almost a relationship in a way. So we have peers. Friends, family, lots of different types of family relationships. Anything else that wasn't included in that? A type of relationship that we have?
Love, I guess you can call it,
yeah.
Or like affection.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of different words you might use there. So like romantic relationships or intimate relationships, partner relationships, you know, a lot of different words for that. And that's going to be kind of mostly what we're focusing on in here is sort of an intimate or romantic relationship. Although, honestly, a lot of the times we want similar things out of a friend that we do out of a relationship with a partner. Obviously, there are some things that are different, but some of the things might kind of be the same. And we're really influenced in our life about kind of what we learn about relationships. So how we're affected by sort of different influence in terms of the type of relationship we're looking for, maybe what our ideal partner we want. So where do you think, what are some of the places we might get messages from in our life about what a relationship should look like?
Our parents.
Parents. Okay. And what kind of messages might we, positive or negative, how might parents influence our idea of relationships?
How they are with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Argue, or if they're hostile towards each other, or affectionate towards each other, or just act like they don't care.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're all kind of sponges as we're growing up, and we're very affected by family relationships. So if we see our parents screaming and yelling at each other, we might kind of learn that that's how it is, what that's what it means to be in a relationship, that's how it's supposed to be. And on the flip side, we learn that, you know, people are really caring for each other, people work together. What other messages, what other ways might family impact our relationships or what we think about relationships?
The way that you change your thinking.
Can you explain that a little bit more?
If your parents do something that you don't like, mm-hmm. you change the way how they think of things. You, okay. In your head, you change the way how they do things mm-hmm. into your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really interesting point because one of the things we know about like relationship violence, domestic violence, whatever word you want to use for it, is that if we grow up in homes where there's violence in the home, we do have a higher likelihood of then recreating that in our own relationships, whether that means being the victim of violence in a relationship or then being the perpetrator, so the one who is being violent towards someone else. However, it does not mean you have this like stamp on your forehead that means that's the type of relationship you're going to have. And often it does the opposite. So we see, you know, really abusive language with our family we grew up in towards each other, or violence in our family. And we decide we want something that is like the complete opposite of that. So our family doesn't determine the type of relationships we have, but it is important to kind of think about what ideas we might have gotten from them and what we want that's similar or different from them. So family influences our idea of relationships. What else might influence our idea about relationships? Where else might we kind of pick up messages about what it should look like? Media. Okay, great. So, and there's positive and negative to that, right? So what are some messages that we get from movies, commercials, magazines about relationships? What are some of the, you guys can just throw them out there. What are some ideas we get from the media about relationships? Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so there's like one big problem and then suddenly they resolve it and it's all perfect, right? Okay, what else?
There also tends to be sort of a, when media portrays relationships, it always tends to be in extremes. Like it's either a really perfect relationship where everything's smooth and good, or it's like really terrible, like one's beating on the other mm-hmm. kind of relationship instead of really in between.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's not a lot of subtlety, right?
Yeah.
So it's either like this horrible nightmare relationship or
two ends of the spectrum instead of the entire spectrum.
Great point. Okay. So what other ideas do we get from movies, romantic comedy, romances about relationships? What other ideas do we get about it?
That if you're not happy with the person, like you shouldn't stay with them. It
mm-hmm.
just make things worse mm-hmm. for yourself and for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The main point of relationship can be different with different points of views.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit more? I like what you're saying.
But some movies portray it as all about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Some maybe like being happy and actually being with the person or stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So they may kind of portray relationships that focus on one aspect of a relationship. So like you said, a relationship's all about sex, or it's all about money, or it's all, you know, one of those sort of things. Okay, absolutely. You know, I think one of the interesting things about movies also is I've noticed in a lot of movies, they also have this idea in them, a lot of the romances, that it's healthy to feel like if you weren't with this person, you would just die. Like your life would be over, you would be incomplete, it would all end. And I think a lot of time this is portrayed as a really positive thing. This is, means it's a great relationship. But in reality, there's something sort of unhealthy about that. How can that idea be unhealthy? That if I'm not with this person, I'm going to die or my life is over. Why is that possibly not a healthy idea?
Well, they can just do whatever they want.
It might not be as
no repercussions.
Absolutely. All three great points. So so it gives that it gives them sort of free license to do whatever you, they want to you if you're just feeling like you have to be with them. Uh-huh. And you had shared that maybe they don't feel the same way about you. So definitely, so it's like a, it's an unbalanced relationship because you'll do anything to be with them and they don't want to be with you. And Tori, did you say something? I feel like I missed something you had said.
Like, say it ends, like I've watched this with family members, they can be super depressed and not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So like my that happened to my brother when him and his girlfriend broke up, he was like just a totally different person because of it.
Yeah.
Just kind of sucks seeing him like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so just sort of a feeling that he just, like, my life is over. This isn't worth it. And, yeah, hard thing to watch if somebody you know is going through that. Absolutely. So it's not actually, it's a great idea to think that this person would make us a better person, that our lives would be better with the person. But the idea that we're incomplete without somebody else is actually kind of unhealthy. Okay, so we talked about family influencing us, media influencing our idea of relationships. Anything else think we pick up ideas about relationships from anywhere else?
Just from our peers.
Oh. Yeah,
that's
what
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's how you find out how what you actually like and mm-hmm. what you would actually want to do in life is from the people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just kind of observing relationships that are happening on campus, whether it's friends, just seeing it. And that could probably be positive and negative, depending on the relationships that are around you. So without being, you know, we don't want to be using anybody's names, anything like that, but what do you think some of the messages, what do you see in relationships with people your guys' age? Do you feel like the relationships you see around you are healthy, unhealthy, a combination? Or what do you see in them that's, let's just go to one first. What do you see in relationships like at your guys' age on campus that seems unhealthy? Are there any kind of dynamics that you see happening that seem unhealthy to you?
Personal experience, I've been in an unhealthy relationship, uh-huh. and like my friends have tried to like tell me,
uh-huh.
and I, of course, didn't see it myself,
uh-huh.
but it's like, if the person is willing to like degrade you in front of people and like in public, that's kind of like a huge red flag,
uh-huh.
and it should like tell you,
uh-huh.
but like, I'm pretty naive and didn't see it myself.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Do you mind me asking, how did it feel when friends pointed it out to you? Did you get upset at the friends, or did you...
Yeah, well, it was, like, my family, too, but I didn't uh-huh. hear it.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, you guys are wrong. You just, you know, don't like him, or uh-huh. trying to break us up, or trying to get in it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're actually trying to help me, but uh-huh. I didn't listen.
You know, and it's, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's one of the reasons that I think it's so important to have conversations like these, because relationships are really involving, and we get very, we can get very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Especially in a new relationships, we can get very sort of enveloped in the relationship. It can be hard to see it kind of from the outside. And, you know, it sounds like you've gotten a perspective now from being out of it that you didn't have at the time. And it's one thing, reason I think it's so important to have conversations about what's healthy, what's unhealthy, looking for those warning signs, I think is the word that you, or red flags, so that you have more of a likelihood of maybe noticing them. Although, it's still hard. It's still hard because you care about that person. So anything else you guys feel, whether it's from personal experience or noticing relationships around you, kind of with your age group, that you kind of notice that seems off or unhealthy or you feel like you wouldn't want for yourself?
Well, I feel like people like my age, like 15, they know how like to love each other and like be with each other, but they don't know how to solve problems.
Oh, interesting.
Like, they would argue rather than just mm-hmm. like getting to the bottom of the problem. Mm-hmm.
Also with that, it's they argue about stupid things, mm-hmm. not problems that would actually affect your life.
Mm-hmm.
It also depends on maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and you guys are right, it depends on the couple, it depends on the maturity level, but it sounds like, you know, you guys are observing either people who are getting into fights all the time about maybe kind of what seem like little things or insignificant things, or don't really quite know how to ever actually get somewhere productive with it or something. Okay. How about jealousy or like...
Oh my goodness.
That's a big one.
So does anybody want to, you know, it sounds like everybody kind of had a reaction to that one.
I've been in a relationship where I could not talk to my guy friends that I've known since I was 5.
Uh-huh.
Because of jealousy and control and, like,
yeah,
just, I couldn't talk to anybody, couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even my best friend, her, has been my best friend for 12 years, like, I couldn't even hang out with her.
Yeah.
And I was like...
So that extreme jealousy, yeah, of wanting to kind of isolate you, keep you away from anybody that might be threatening to the, in their minds, you,
yeah,
know, to that relationship. Okay. How else does jealousy, do you think, play into sort of relationships sometimes in negative ways?
Mostly trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it at the bottom line, it shows a lack of trust. So, just by a raise of hands, I know this is not going to be able to be seen on radio, but who has ever, at some point in their life, been jealous? Who has ever been jealous? Okay. Yeah.
Counts
so, so as you can tell, everybody in here has their hand up. I think jealousy is a fairly natural emotion. Most people feel it at some point. And I think of jealousy a little bit like anger. There's nothing inherently wrong with jealousy. It's how we use it. So the problem, I think, a lot of times in relationship is jealousy, instead of being an emotion that person just feels themselves, it gets taken to, I feel uncomfortable, so therefore I need to control your behavior. So it sounds like, you know, that's a little bit what you're expressing, is the person felt jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of kind of talking about it or dealing with our own feelings, it became, I'm jealous, so therefore I don't want you talking to anybody else or looking at anybody else or whatever it is. Okay, any other last things that we haven't talked about in terms of what you guys sort of observe in relationships at your guys' age on the positive side?
I don't know, like, some couples, they actually figure out problems together, mm-hmm, instead of just going to separate sides, mm-hmm, of the school and arguing over a phone.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some couples that would actually figure out some problems instead, mm-hmm, of just fight over it like normal people would, but...
So there's definitely positive relationships as well. You know, and I think it's always kind of this thing where the negative is always easier to see. It's always more easy to notice relationships that are negative than it is to maybe identify positive relationships, just because, you know, it's more obvious. But do you feel like, or what would be your guys' guess? Do you think that unhealthy relationships, I actually want to draw something up here. Somebody mentioned a spectrum of relationships. I think it was you were mentioning that. Most relationships are kind of on a spectrum. So on this side, we have absolute, like, 100% abusive relationship. And on this side, we have 100% perfect, healthy, smiling faces. Oops.
Never happened.
Right. Very, very hard to achieve. And then we have relationships that just most of us fall somewhere along this spectrum, right? So it's kind of, that's why I use the term healthy and unhealthy versus abusive, because, you know, sometimes we think, well, if the person's not hitting me or the person's not, you know, doing some really, really obvious form of abuse to me, then therefore it's healthy, or there's nothing wrong.
There's emotional and mental abuse.
Absolutely.
Not just physical.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? What does mental or emotional abuse mean in a relationship?
I've personally gone through it by being degraded, mm-hmm, by somebody, just, you know, calling you names, talking you down, that, you know, puts you in, like, a depressive state,
mm-hmm,
obviously wants to go through that.
So somebody trying to kind of make you feel less than, or trying to...
And you believe them, because, like, you know, you care about them, so you, you know, believe what they say, or think that, you know, they're being honest with you, but they're just, you know, trying to talk themselves up and talk you down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anything else that kind of falls into that emotional verbal abuse?
I have noticed kind of a phenomenon on unhealthy relationships where one member of the relationship will keep breaking up with and getting back together with the other, like, it's several times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the logic behind it. I don't know if it's just to humiliate them or because they're really not made up their mind about the thing, but it's really unhealthy.
Yeah. And particularly if it seems like there's one person who's always initiating it, so there's some kind of power thing there of, like, I can break up with you and get back together with you whenever I want.
Yeah,
and that's unhealthy to your guys' friends, too. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't affect you two. It affects everyone around you because mm-hmm. you put your mood off on two other people.
Absolutely. So, again, you know, just by a raise of show of hands, how many people here have ever seen a relationship, and this could be with people your age or adults, a relationship around you that you felt concerned about? By a raise of hands, who's ever seen a relationship you felt concerned about? And how many of you guys, by a raise of hand, felt, and that was everybody, how many of you guys felt comfortable talking to the person about it? Raise your hands. Yeah. So it's really, really hard to talk to somebody about relationships. And Tori, you mentioned this earlier. There's many reasons why it's hard. And this is true for adults just as much as it is true for teens. Relationships are such personal things to us that often, you know, we kind of consider that a private matter or a personal matter. And so therefore, you know, we think that the person doesn't want to hear it or need to hear it. Or we've tried and then the person gets mad at us or feels like they don't want to hear it. And an interesting statistics about abuse with teens is that the person most likely for a teen to disclose to is actually another peer. So if teens are getting in abusive relationships and actually reach out for help, like I think it's like 95% of the time they're talking to another person their own age about it. They're not actually talking to adults about it. However, that's a really challenging and tricky thing to deal with. If you have a friend coming and talking to you about that, it's hard to know how to help them, what resources to give with them, and what to do. So would you guys guess, do you think that you know, unhealthy relationships or abusive relationships happen more with teens or adults? What would be your guess?
I say teens because they don't really know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like physical's more adults, but emotionally and mentally it's more teens.
And more like putting down verbally instead of being actually mentally and physically abusive.
Okay. So statistically, it's actually equal. And that's one reason I was showing this kind of spectrum up here, because it doesn't mean that every single form of abuse is happening in every one of those relationships. There may be relationships where there aren't physical abuse, but that are still abusive. So it's actually the same statistics for teens and adults. And it's actually 1/3 of all relationships fall into the category of abusive. Again, those are not all physical, but 1/3 of all relationships. So, like, let's say we have 12 people in here. Statistically, that means 4 of us in the room are in abusive relationships. It may not be true for this room, but that's a really high number. I know that was a number that surprised me when I had first heard about it. And interestingly enough, you know, I've worked at Project Sanctuary for 9 years, and every single person I've talked to, both teens and adults, has always said that it was the emotional and the verbal side of abuse that was actually more difficult than physical. And that's not to say physical abuse is not incredibly harmful, but emotional verbal was way more difficult. And I'm just curious, why do you guys think, you know, even if somebody was never putting their hands on you, why would somebody, you know, degrading you or calling you names or controlling you, why would that be more difficult possibly? Or what would be difficult about that?
It hurts you so much on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, you may have a bruise on your face or maybe a cut, but that, like, I'm not saying that's not painful. It's just you live with it. I feel like you live with it longer. It hurt you on the inside.
So you kind of, you internalize it more. It starts to maybe affect how you actually feel about yourself, and it doesn't go away.
Physical abuse feels faster than mental abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mental abuse is also easier to deny for both the perpetrator and the victim, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's like if somebody slaps you around, you're going to know it. But if somebody is messing with you emotionally or mentally, sometimes you just kind of explain it away. Maybe they're in a bad mood today.
Yeah.
And then they just keep doing it.
Absolutely.
You can go on much longer than physical abuse.
Also, like, when you're hurt on the inside, you tend to, like, shove it down and push it away, but you can see physical abuse more, and, like, your friends can try to help you, or your family can try to help you, but when you're being degraded or hurt emotionally, you tend to just kind of, like I say, turtle up and just go in your little shell.
I like that.
And hide away.
Yeah.
And just
turtle power.
Isolate. Yeah. Yeah. All incredibly, incredibly good points. whether, you know, and it's kind of stuff that is more difficult for other people to, like you said, more difficult for other people to recognize and even know that you need help or you need somebody to pull you out of your shell, as well as that it kind of lasts, it stays around longer. And actually, you know, the really kind of insidious thing about abusive relationships is the longer you're in them, the worse you feel about yourself, and then the harder it is to get out, which is the really kind of frustrating and horrible thing about relationships. And I think a lot of times we have this view from the outside of, why didn't that person leave? Why did that person allow someone to treat them that way? But the problem is, you know, abusive relationships don't just suddenly start. They're often it's a very slow process, kind of like I was sharing in the beginning. It's a slow process of slowly kind of starting to degrade you and make you feel bad about yourself. It's actually quite a slow process until one day you don't even recognize it, but you've started to change yourself, for this person, or, isolate yourself from your support system. So I think it's really hard sometimes to, if you haven't experienced it yourself, to see, why would that person be in the relationship? Most likely you guys have probably all heard that question before. It's a really common question, I think. So what do you guys think? Why else might people stay in abusive relationships outside of the fact that I just mentioned that, you know, feeling bad about themselves, or they've already been made to feel really horrible? Why else might people stay in abusive relationships?
They wouldn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
They could be scared to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to live with themselves after their mentally or physical abuse.
Okay, absolutely.
They might, in spite of the abuse, they'll love this person and have some misguided sense of honor or loyalty. Mm-hmm. Stick with them.
Absolutely.
I think that's the best they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if like a couple has kids, like sometimes one couple wants like them to stay together, even though it's like emotional abuse, just so the kids could have parents.
Yeah.
In one household. So.
Absolutely. And that's, again, that's kind of going back to why this is, I think, such an important topic to talk about at your guys' age, because relationships are incredibly challenging. They're wonderful, but they're also incredibly challenging. And for you guys to kind of start thinking about this and figuring out what you want for yourself at this age is amazing, because you get older. As you guys brought up, as you get older, the consequences even get more challenging, and the reasons you have to stay in a relationship get even more intense, like kids or finances. So I think it's great that you guys have this opportunity to think about this stuff now and decide what you want for yourselves.
You are listening to Youth Speaks Out. The speaker is Leah Holbrook from Project Sanctuary in Ukiah. She is discussing healthy, unhealthy relationships with Laytonville High School students at a forum created by Healthy Start in Laytonville. The mission of Project Sanctuary is to prevent domestic violence and sexual assault in Mendocino County. They may be reached inland at 462-6169 and on the coast at 961-1507. If you are in a crisis, you may speak to a counselor anytime. Inland, call 463-HELP, or on the coast, 964-HELP. If you are in immediate danger, call 911. Back to Leah Holbrook from Project Sanctuary.
So, I think we're going to shift a little bit unless anybody has anything that they want to kind of add to that discussion right now in terms of why people stay in relationships. Okay, so we are going to do a little bit of an activity now. I am going to hand out just a small little stack of cards to each of you guys. And on each one of these cards is a situation that could happen in a sort of a little bit of an unhealthy relationship. And what I want you guys to do is look at the card and think about, this is all about your own reaction. This is not about what answer you think you should give, or what answer the person sitting next to you would give, or what answer, you know, Dan or I would give. It's for yourself. You're going to say, you're going to come up and put your card in one of these two bags. This bag right here is the deal breaker bag. Does anybody know what does a deal breaker mean when we talk about relationships?
a deal breaker is basically just like, that's it, we're breaking up, we're done.
Uh-huh. So if this thing for you, you feel like the second this happened in a relationship, boom, you're out the door. This is it. You're gonna put your card in the deal breaker bag. If you feel like it's, oh, this is unhealthy, this is a warning sign it's going in a bad direction, but I don't feel like I'd quite be ready to leave yet, like maybe I'd want to communicate with him about it, talk to him about it, you're going to put it in the warning sign bag. So I'm going to read one to you just to kind of explain, it'll make more sense. So this one is, when the person gets mad, they hang up on you. So I would either put this in deal breaker side, if it would be like that for me is just the end. I could not deal with somebody like that. Or warning sign. Not really feel comfortable with it, but I also would want to try to talk to them more about it. Make sense to everyone? Yeah. Okay, cool. Sure.
I think that one of the things that didn't get brought up is that sometimes people stay together because especially in high school, it's a lot more comfortable to be with somebody than to be on your own. Mm. You know, because there's the insecurity about being on your own. And another might be that, you know, you might have a fun sexual relationship, but a terrible emotional relationship. And I know that sometimes people stay together for that reason. And then the emotional part is all abusive, but then there's this, like, other part that's like, wow, this is so good that, you know, I'll put up with that. So, and from working in the schools, I've seen how important it is to a lot of people to be connected with somebody else, so when they're walking between classes, they're holding hands or whatever.
What do you guys think? Do you think there's a pressure to kind of be in relationships? And I don't mean pressure like somebody is standing next to you saying you have to be in a relationship, you know, but do you feel like there is kind of a pressure?
There's definitely a pressure because someone could be hurting themselves and your person that you're in a relationship with knows about it and wants to stay with because they're really fun to be with and everything, but don't really want to let them go because they're afraid of having them to hurt themselves even more instead of actually helping them and helping them figure out their problems.
So meaning that somebody might stay in a relationship past the point they want to because they're worried the person might hurt themselves or something bad would happen to them or something like that. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Do you guys think that there's a pressure kind of in school to be in relationships?
Yeah, I think there's a pressure, especially from your friends, because, like, if you really like someone and you want to be with them, but, like, your friends don't like them, like, they could be telling you, like, why are you with this person and everything.
I've actually witnessed that a lot. Like, one of my friends was in a relationship and the other person's, like, always degrading their girlfriend and, like, always putting them down, like, why are you with this person? Like, they're just horrible. It's just, I don't know.
And that would be really hard to be around if somebody was always kind of ragging on the person you cared about or in a relationship with.
I wasn't even in the relationship with the person. I felt bad for him.
Right.
It's just, there's a time to know when to stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it's interesting, the other thing that you brought up a minute ago about the... and it's actually related to the media as well. I think you had brought this up earlier, that we have this idea relationships are either all good or all bad, and that even in maybe unhealthy relationships, there's still really, really good parts to that relationship. And I think that's what makes it so hard, whether that good part, as you brought up, whether that good part is that there's a really fun sexual part of the relationship, or the good part is when things are going really well, you feel like, you know, they make you feel really special or needed or wanted. You know, relationships that are unhealthy aren't necessarily always bad. And in a way that can kind of, I think, mess with your head a little bit. Cause sometimes this person makes you feel amazing and wonderful, but then suddenly they're telling you you're stupid or worthless. And I think that's what it can make you kind of get stuck in these relationships, waiting for the good part again. And actually there is a word for that. And it's called the cycle of violence. And this happens in teen relationships and adult relationships. And what this cycle refers to, so let's say you guys get into the relationship, you start dating, everything is great. And this is a little similar to my own story I shared. So this is like the beginning, you know, everything's good, you're in love, it's perfect. And slowly kind of, it starts kind of, you know, you noticing little things, whether it's comments they're making, making you feel stupid, being super jealous. And then there is something that happens that is very abusive. And this can be physical abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, some form of abuse. And then we go into what is called, it's called a honeymoon period. Does anybody know what that means? What do we talk about in relationships when we're talking about going from abuse to a honeymoon period?
I've heard this like several times. It's like the relationship gets slightly better after a period of abuse, and then it goes back into another period of abuse, usually worse than the one that preceded it. And this kind of repeats basically until the relationship ends.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you guys, I've never seen or heard of a relationship, an abusive relationship, that doesn't have some form of this. It may happen in different ways in different relationships, but almost every relationship follows some form of this pattern. So you're absolutely right. There's some type of abuse, whether it's, you know, again, verbal, physical, sexual, and then there's the honeymoon period, which is, honey, I am so sorry, this will never happen again. I'm really going to work on myself. Things are going to be different this time. I got you flowers, you know, tell me, how can I make this better? How can we work on things? And of course, you care about the person. You want to believe it. You want to believe something is going to change. So you stay, but then, you know, slowly it starts, you start noticing sort of the tension again. Maybe they start making rude comments again, start getting really jealous as you're leaving the house, whatever it is. And so it starts getting tense, and we just keep going in this cycle. And problem is, the longer you're in a relationship with a person, often this cycle gets shorter and shorter, and the honeymoon period gets shorter and shorter until it's just eventually almost all feels abusive. So, again, almost every relationship I've ever heard about or talked to somebody about has this very similar cycle that's happening. And it can be incredibly hard to deal with because, again, you love this person, you care about them, you want to believe that something's going to change, and you can get stuck kind of in that cycle. Just by a show of hands, I don't really want any kind of an explanation of who. Has anybody ever observed, whether a personal experience or someone around you, has anyone ever observed this happening in a relationship? All right. Okay, so we're going to shift and we're going to read some of these cards here and talk a little bit about them. But I want to get some help so that I'm not the one reading it. Let's jump to, what you guys want to start with? Deal breaker or warning signs?
Deal breaker or warning signs.
Warning signs. Okay, we'll start with warning signs just because that was what I heard the most of. So we're not going to read them all. So what we're going to do, I'll just pass it around. If you feel like you want to pull one out and read it so we can talk about it, you can. If you do not want to, that is fine as well. That was just not just my voice. You want to go? You want to grab one out of here and read it to us? So this is under warning signs.
The person scares you sometimes.
All right. So, and again, people can have different opinions about this. So somebody put this in the warning signs bag. It could go on the other side for you. But what about the person scaring you would either be a warning sign or a deal breaker? Why, or why is this something we would not want in a relationship? Yeah.
Well, I think that would be a deal breaker because for me personally it has been. Because I think that if you're threatened by anybody or you don't feel safe, then you shouldn't be around them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And from personal experience, it really was a deal breaker because I don't want to be with anybody that I don't feel safe around.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like be alone with that person.
Okay.
And it just, it's like depressing. Yeah.
So definitely. So for you, you would feel like this would be like a deal breaker. Like if I feel scared of you at all, this would be an ending for me. Anybody have a different thought on that? Did anybody feel like it'd be something they'd want to talk or different perspective?
I feel like there's different like types of being scared of someone. Mm-hmm. They could be like scared of like what they'll do to you or scared of like what they'll do like to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they could say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it would reflect back on you because you were a couple.
Interesting. Okay. So so for you, it kind of would depend partly on how you're interpreting the word scared. So
yeah.
So if for you, if you were feeling scared of them, like physically or them hurting you, it would be different, but
yeah,
maybe.
Different.
Okay.
If it was emotionally mm-hmm. like, scared, I would, like, it would be more of a warning sign.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Great.
The person has a history of bad relationships.
Interesting. Okay, so this is under warning signs. And again, maybe this is something that wouldn't bug you at all. So again, we could go anywhere on the spectrum with this. So the person having a history of bad relationships, what about that could possibly be a warning sign? Would it be a deal breaker? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I guess it could be a warning sign. Because, like, if they have a history of bad relationships, there's a good chance of repeating that again. But then again, people do change as hard as it is. People can change over time. And so, yeah, I would definitely proceed with caution, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker.
Okay, absolutely. So you might, like, keep your eyes open a little bit, but...
pay attention.
Yeah.
Anything else would probably definitely fall into the deal-breaker category.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we should give them a chance.
Okay, absolutely. Anybody else have any thoughts on that one? Somebody having a history of bad relationships affecting their opinion of the person? Okay.
After the first few dates, the person says, "I can't live without you."
Oh, goodness, that's no. Creepy. That's a lot of clingy. Yeah.
Hey.
That's almost a deal breaker because then they could turn psycho or something, or just be too clingy, and then it just turns into a whole bad thing that no matter what you do is hurting them, everything you do is wrong because all it does is upset them. You feel like you can't do anything because it's all wrong, and it's just bad.
It feels a little suffocating, too.
Yeah! Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone thinks that it's good to be, like, so close with the person you're in a relationship is, but personally with me, like, I have my arm distance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I need to breathe.
Yeah.
I'm claustrophobic, so.
So for you, it would almost feel like it's actually not really what you're looking for, is somebody who wants you to be everything. You kind of want somebody who has some independence,
like,
away from
yeah,
you
to,
and,
like, mm-hmm. live next to me, not, like, attached, like, a leech.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that one?
I can't live without you is kind of just a common saying at this point.
Mm-hmm. You might stay with them just because you're scared of what they do.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's interesting. I think one of the interesting things about these cards is I notice a lot of times it depends partly on how people interpret the wording. So, you know, it's interesting. For you, you're saying that you're interpreting it more as, like, it's a phrase they're using versus that's really how they feel. But your guys are saying, like, it would be really terrifying because that's just kind of a terrifying thing to have somebody say. So, you know, and I think a lot of these might be dependent slightly on how you're actually interpreting the question itself.
And also, your values can kind of impact that because, like, I don't know, other people like their autonomy in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of see a relationship as an escape from being on your own, and I am, you know, clingy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And, you know, one of the things, you guys, I think is really important about relationships is... okay, this is going to seem like a weird analogy, but I liken relationships a little bit to being like a car. And what I mean by that is we all may have a different, like, image in our head of what we want, what kind of car we want. We may want it to have different features. We may want it to look different. We may all have a different idea, but there are certain things that a car needs to actually run and certain things that are bad for, you know, that will make the car unable to run. And in a strange way, this is similar to relationships. We may all want different things out of a partner. We may want different, whether it's physical things from a partner or emotional things from a partner. But there are some things, common things that we need for relationships to work. And then also some common things that will make a relationship unhealthy. So I think it's important to remember we all may have different things we want in relationships. And so this is even just kind of a more general discussion sort of about what could be unhealthy, but we may not all agree on these and that's okay. Alrighty.
Next card. The person calls, texts, or emails you constantly when you are out with your friends. And I think that's kind of smothering in a way.
It all, like, depends on what they want to know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That too.
Mm-hmm.
But I would put it in, like, the warning sign, mm-hmm. probably.
Yeah. So, and you'd said it depends on what they want to know. Would you mind explaining that a little bit?
Well, like, what you're doing at that exact moment, like, say, in every 2 seconds, like, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Where are you now? Who are you with? Kind of thing. It just, it for me, it depends on what exactly they want to know.
Mm-hmm. So if it's feeling like it's kind of, like, super jealous or controlling would be different than they just are, a Uber texter or something like that. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts about how you guys would feel about somebody kind of always wanting to be in touch with you, always wanting to text you, call you, email?
I don't really mind because I'm kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Okay. Really, unless they're, like,
care, you know, like, really getting, like, if they're getting, like, mad at me for, like, being with my friends, then it's, or vice versa, you know what I mean?
Right.
But if it's just, like, talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if they're keeping in touch, that would be cool, but, like, if you're feeling like they're pissed because you're not with them or something like that, that would be different. Okay. All right. So we're going to jump for a minute right now to kind of address a few of these things. And I want to kind of point out one of the reasons that we focus on sort of the warning sign aspect or the red flags of relationships is because, well, I'm going to give you guys an example. Let's just say you guys are out on a first date with somebody. You guys have gone to like a nice dinner out in Santa Rosa. And on the first date, the person reaches across the table and they slap you. Would you go out with that person again?
No,
absolutely not, right? Pretty simple answer to that one. People have a lot of different things they feel like they would do in that situation, but most likely you would not be asking for another date with this person. You would hopefully leave the restaurant. However, if this happened a year into the relationship, your thought process might be a little bit different. It may be still the exact same. That may be a deal breaker for you. You walk out the door. But the problem is, when we get deeper into a relationship, it's actually harder to get out. So one reason we do focus so much of this discussion on warning signs and red flags, if we can go into relationships with our eyes wide open, if we start to notice things we're uncomfortable with, it's actually that much easier to get out. But as you guys had kind of talked about earlier, once we're enmeshed in a relationship, we've gotten really close to the person, our lives are intertwined, it can be a lot more difficult to figure out how to leave. So I just wanted to kind of point out that's one reason I think it is so important to kind of talk about red flags and warning signs, because if we notice them and we realize that it's not what we want in a relationship, it's way easier to get out in the beginning, and it can feel a lot harder once we're in the middle of it. So I just want to ask you guys a question really quickly. And actually I'd like to direct this really quickly to you because you have been willing to share in here about your own experience with this. And I'd like to just kind of see if you can share a little bit about how you came to the decision to leave the relationship, what made you decide to get out, and then what your experiences was ending the relationship, as much or as little as you're willing.
Oh, that's fine. Well, the person, because I moved from Lakeville to Willits, so I was a half hour away. Well, he wouldn't make an effort to come see me, and you know, whenever we were talking or together, it was just arguing. He would treat me like crap, you know, degrade me, just treat me terribly. He actually threw stuff at me one time, never physically hit me, but it got to the point where I was literally scared to be in the vehicle with him, and I just couldn't handle it anymore, and it was hard to just break it off, as bad as it sounds. Like, it was hard, but once I did it, I felt so much better, and it was like a big relief off mm-hmm. my shoulders, and it just, I've been way better ever since, mm-hmm. and that was like almost 2 years ago.
And did you find kind of the farther you got away from the relationship or the farther you got away from its ending, did you find yourself kind of realizing all these things that had happened that were not working for you?
I finally mm-hmm. started realizing what my parents told me, my friends told me, they were all right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was with the person for 2 years, so yeah, it was hard to leave. But the further the relationship went, the worse it got. Mm-hmm. It wasn't getting any better. Mm-hmm. So it was just time to just walk away, mm-hmm. which was hard, but once you do it, it's good.
So I just want to kind of point out that, thank you for being willing to share that. And also, you know, how difficult that process can be for people. The statistic is, and this is an adult statistic, but I think it's true that it's hard, just as hard for young people, is that a person who is in an abusive relationship will try to leave 7 times. This is the average of leaving 7 times before they're finally able to leave the person for good. Now, that means some people do it only 1 time. Some people have more than that. And the reason is exactly what you described. It's actually way more difficult than you might imagine it would be. So there's a couple things that I kind of want to bring up for you guys of sort of resources that I think are really, really great for young people specifically. My actually first recommendation for this kind of stuff is kind of a dorky one, which is to continue these conversations with your friends all the time. And I say this because the more we talk about relationships, the more we are expressing real relationships to our friends and our family, the easier it's going to be if we get in a situation that is not good. And a lot of times I think we talk about relationships with friends, but they're kind of, they're not maybe a real conversation about that relationship. What is it really feeling in like that? Like, what is it really feeling like in that relationship? How is this person really treating you? And I mean that in a positive and negative way. How is this person making you feel good? How is this person making you feel bad? Are they kind of letting you express yourself in the ways you want to? And I just encourage kind of at a first step is to, even if you're in a good relationship or no relationship now, to just start by having really good conversations with people about relationships and starting that process. And in line with that is actually trying to talk to your parents about it. And I don't mean talking to your parents because that would like terrify me thinking about talking to them about it. But even having a starting conversation and asking your parents what their experience was like when they were teens, with dating, you know, did they date at all? You know, what did they do? And I know that probably does not sound like a very appealing idea. But it can be a really interesting experience to kind of find out what your parents probably went through some of this stuff as well. And even if we're not wanting to talk to parents, they are an important resource if we're actually needing help and needing to leave a relationship. So those are my two like preemptory ideas of how we can kind of make sure we have better relationships and can talk about relationships. But on the other side, if you are in a relationship that is unhealthy, or if you have a friend that is in a relationship that is unhealthy, there's a lot of really, really great resources out there. And the one local resource that I can give you guys is actually where I work, which is Project Sanctuary. And we are open to men, women, young men, young women, anyone over the age of 12 can come and talk to somebody at our office. It can be completely anonymous. We also have a 24-hour crisis line. So if you are needing to talk to somebody, you do not want anyone to know who you are not even sure what you're wanting to do about the situation yet, you just need to process with somebody, or maybe you're seeing some warning signs with this relationship and you want to kind of know, are these really signs that this is unhealthy? Any time of day or night, you can talk to somebody at Project Sanctuary or our crisis line, and you can identify yourself or not identify yourself. That's up to you. So that's the kind of the local resource. Also, I want to point out that where we are right now is one of the most amazing resources I think our entire county has. And in my opinion, I think you guys are really, really lucky to be here in Laytonville because you have an amazing resource in town, and a lot of adults here whose primary, I think, care is having young people who are healthy and happy. And I know for a fact that relationships is something that Jama, Lindsay, Nikki, all of them really, really value having healthy relationships for youth. So that would be my other idea for here locally. And if you're more comfortable with kind of internet format, there's actually some sites that are completely 100% focused towards teens. There are sites where you can go and you can actually text chat with people if you're needing help or wanting advice. There are sites where you can ask and email questions. There's actually teen-focused crisis lines. So there's actually a lot of options out there if you are wanting to talk to somebody about this or if you're concerned about a friend. And I think sometimes one of the things that can keep people in relationships longer is feeling like there's just nowhere to go, that feeling like it can't ever feel different than that. And it's important to know that that's actually not true. And it's one reason I'm really glad you were willing to kind of share your experience and share that even if you're in a bad relationship or a bad situation and it feels like nothing will ever be, it's impossible to change or there will never get better, the farther you get away from it, it does feel better and you realize what you want now and what you need out of a relationship that's different. I would say probably 25% of the calls we get at our office are actually loved ones saying, I'm so concerned about somebody in a relationship. How do I help them get out of it? So that's another thing that people can call us for, is even just getting advice on how to support someone they care about in leaving, in getting away. In California, campuses, college campuses just implemented a law. It's called the The yes means yes law is what is the kind of colloquial term for it. And basically, it is saying that it is no longer, if somebody has been raped, it is no longer enough to be ask that person, did you say no? Did you try to resist? Those are often the first questions that someone is asked if they're sexually assaulted. And instead, the focus is now going to be shifted to the person who's being accused. And people are now going to have to be required to get consent from somebody. So they have made the effort to make sure what they are doing sexually is okay with the person. So not just that somebody didn't say no to a sexual act, but they let you know that this is yes, this is what I wanted to do. This is perfect. This is where I want to go. So that's just kind of a quick little thing, but I think sexual assault would be another kind of interesting topic and a very complicated one. So, well, thank you guys for coming. And again, if anything ever does come up, everybody here knows how to get a hold of me, our office, all of that information is also downstairs. I just encourage you guys to, first of all, go into relationships with your eyes open, is the way I like to put it. Pay attention. Realize that you have the right to be completely respected at all times in a relationship. That doesn't mean relationships will ever be easy or perfect. But at a bottom line, you know, you always have that right, and that also means you have the responsibility to do the same for the other person. It's kind of a two-way thing. And, yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah, that was a blast.
Well, good. Glad you're here.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. The speaker was Leah Holbrook of Project Sanctuary. The mission of Project Sanctuary is to prevent domestic violence and sexual assault in Mendocino County through advocacy, crisis response, community collaboration, education, and shelter. They may be reached at 462-6169 and on the coast at 961-1507. If you are in crisis, you may speak to a counselor anytime. Inland, call 463-HELP or on the coast at 964-HELP. If you are in immediate danger, call 911. Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out, our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is May 3rd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in May.